For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Broadcasting from the 80 Up Studio, it's the longest running poker podcast for the everyday poker player with your host, Joe Scales.
Hello, A Team. It's Friday, January 12th. Welcome to the Ante Up Poker Podcast, where every hand is an opportunity, every player is a friend, and every episode is a winning experience. I'm your host, Joe Scales, and this is the 52nd episode for me, officially one full year of hosting the podcast. So the next episode, I'm going to label Chapter 2, Episode 1, but I'm not going to take that time off between episodes as like a lot of shows do when the seasons change. 2024 has started off fast and strong for us over here, and I'm wondering, how has your year started? Have you run deep in any tournaments? Win any good ones? Let me know at podcast@anteupmagazine.com. I know we can all relate to getting to the middle stages of a tournament and hitting that proverbial wall. And I'm always looking for a way to be more productive and stave off brain fog, so to speak. I've talked about the detriment of over-caffeinating on the podcast before, though. That just gets you kind of jittery and impatient for a while before you just drop off that cliff again. So this is what I did. I reached out to Magic Mind, and they sent over their productivity drink. Here are a couple things for you to look up. Matcha, adaptogens, and nootropics. These things combine to give you some energy, but also keep you calm and focused. Honestly, I've never even considered something as an option that combines those two things. Like, I don't drink coffee or tea. I seriously have stayed away from caffeine from the fear of this need for it. And then you can't sleep. This doesn't have that effect at all. I've been trying it out this week, and Elle's going to try it out as well. But we want you to try it out too. So, you know what that means. We have a code for you. Just go to magicmind.co, not .com, magicmind.co/JANANTIUP. Obviously, there'll be a link in the description of the podcast, but with the code ANTIUP20, you can get 1 month free with a 3 month subscription of Magic Mind, or 20% off your order with the code ANTIUP20. It'll only last until the end of January, so hurry up, get yours, and let me know what you think of it. That's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Find out what conversations are happening around the poker table with Table Talk.
We are back around the poker table with Elle. How are you?
Made it to Friday, Joe. Freaking Friday.
Another one down. Hey, I want to start with a couple of interesting topics. One, did you see Phil Hellmuth give his interview on Poker Go?
Oh, I sure did.
I thought it was interesting because we've never seen Phil Hellmuth with kind of a humble side. He's always been very, what's the right word? He has gone out of his way to say how great he has done. And he kind of starts this interview off that way, but then kind of, and I don't really know what got him off on this road here, but he really kind of goes into talking about his own insecurities and why he feels like he constantly has to prove that he's at, you know, the top of the game. Like, he's still one of those top players out there, which is interesting. You know, he's won 17 bracelets, like way more than anyone else. His goal has always been to win 24, which he mentions in the video. And he also says that, you know, with some of the top players like Doyle and others, that they were playing well into their 70s. So that gives him hope that he has plenty of time to reach that. But yet still talks about how, you know, whether it's the way he was raised or that, you know, the fact that he's never really been good at anything else, that maybe that's why he's always kind of bragging on his results. So I thought it was fascinating.
I don't follow Phil as closely as you do. So I think the interview to me, it was different. It was definitely a different side to see a poker player talking about their personal struggle or internal dialogue. So I thought he in full candid review, it was a rant almost, where he went off. It's like when somebody says, "I digress." He was almost, you know, when they ask you to write without thinking.
Right.
He just all of a sudden opened up and couldn't stop. Right. So part of me was just fascinated that, like, yeah, this is totally out of character for anything I've seen before, but it was refreshing to hear that human side. And I think, you know, he'll probably even go back and watch that and go, well, I could have said that probably better in four sentences than the 3 minutes it took me to get that out, right?
Yeah.
But overall, is it wonderful to see the human side of a competitor? Yes. Because typically, what are they going to front? The winnings, the positive accolades. You know, and really what stood out to me the most is he said, I don't want to be known as one of those legends. I want to do the best that I'm capable of doing every day.
Right.
I thought it was fascinating and eye-opening to hear that from him, is that he's not willing to just accept he's got the 17 bracelets. He still has a goal in mind and he still wants to perfect what he can, you know?
Yeah. I think it is... It is interesting, you know, like you said, he did kind of ramble on it, but sometimes you get some of the most interesting tidbits when somebody is just kind of rambling like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it was perfectly polished, you would think it would have been scripted. Right. I do know exactly what you're saying, but I guess maybe it was different to see. It threw me for a little bit, the loop, because interviews are usually quick back and forth, and this one he just continued through his thought process. And kudos to the interviewer. She was very patient and gave him the space to feel comfortable to do that. So I don't think that that's every day. Some people would have tried to interrupt or switch subjects or move beyond. So we could also say that's a great thing that happened as well.
Right. Because initially her question was, how did you feel about your performance in this tournament? And that's when he just kind of blit.
You asked the right question at the right time, sister. You know?
Yeah.
You got to walk away from that going, I just got one of Phil Hellmuth's most emotional interviews ever. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool. I thought it was awesome to kind of see that different side of him for sure. But it kind of leads into this podcast that I've been listening to. It's a podcast. The podcast is called People Who Read People, but it's a behavior and psychology podcast. But Zach Elwood is the host of the show, and he's a former poker pro. But and I mean, he's written a bunch of books on poker tells and stuff like that. But he goes so far beyond that in this podcast, and he's kind of talking about the psychology of the world, really. How reading people in different areas of life are important. And I don't know that that's what happened here, where she just kind of thought, you know, if I ask Phil this question, it's going to lead to all this. I doubt that was probably the case, but like you said, she did ask the right question at the right time. And that kind of sparked this podcast in my brain as well, which, by the way, I think it's a great podcast. If anybody wants to check that out, it's called People Who Read People. Zach Elwood does a great job with the show. One of the ones that I just listened to, and I'm getting nothing. I'm not like getting any kickback for mentioning this, just for the record. But, you know, one of the interesting topics on the podcast that I just listened to recently was, and it was from a while back when Ben Roethlisberger was playing, they were talking about tells in football and baseball and other sports. And apparently when Ben Roethlisberger was playing, when he was in the shotgun formation, he would have his foot flat on the ground when it was a run play, and he would be up on his toes if it was a pass play.
Interesting.
And he got away with this for years and nobody picked up on it. Some kid on TikTok picked up on it and, you know, showed the videos. And sure enough, after you go back and watch over years and years and years, it was the case forever. So
how he got his body in position.
Yeah. Yeah. So little things like that, you know, pitchers tipping their pitches. You and I have talked about that before when watching baseball. So,
well, I mean, we all know when our mom was getting ready to explode. We've been picking up on these tips for a long, long time. It's just learning how to read outside of the everyday that you're generally aware.
Right.
So how do you start learning people at the table when you've just met them? How do you analyze their behavior, right? Yep. And I know you talked to me about this podcast. I haven't had a chance to take a listen, but he was even mentioning how animals interact and watching their tells between those two. But I think hearing from a poker pro about this, it's cool to see how he's using his skill set and expanding the content. I think that's what I was most curious about, is a skill he honed in on and probably practiced and refined and refined and refined and refined over and over and over again. And yet now he's exploring it in other areas and arenas. It was really cool.
Right. You know, to kind of touch on what you were just saying with the animals, like, you know, you hadn't had a dog before and now we have a golden retriever, but just the little things where I could tell, you know, where she was thinking about going to chase something or, you know, going to go a different direction than we were thinking or whatever, then it didn't take you long to figure it out. But those were things that I had grown to notice over time and couldn't really even tell you what it was that I'm seeing. I just know, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And those.
Now that Ollie and I spent so much time together, especially being work from home, oh, I think we know each other's mannerisms way too well.
Yeah.
You know, he can sigh a particular way and I'm like, really? That's what you're thinking? You
know. It's true. It's true. So these poker tells are more just life tells in the podcast and kind of he relates them all back to the world, you know, from politics to animals to sports. You know, it's really fascinating to me. I think the listeners will love it too.
What's it called again?
People Who Read People. And it's Zach Elwood is the host.
Well, where do we stand? Something that's kind of brewing in my mind as we sit around the table is, where do we stand with this ACR challenge? We've kind of been reading things back and forth and we highlighted it a little bit. I was, you know, when we recorded last week's podcast, I was fascinated by this concept of, all right, they're going to challenge people to see. I thought, well, this is kind of a new twist and an interesting way to put it out there. And bam, it exploded.
Right.
I mean, pretty shortly after we released the podcast, it was like, whoa. You know, opinion went from being one side to the other going, oh, well, wait a minute. Was that a really good idea or not?
Right.
You know, so players are not too happy. What else are you hearing?
So I guess, first of all, my question would be to everyone, like, in light of everything with ACR, would you feel comfortable still playing on there? So did this help or hurt, you know? To give everybody just kind of a rundown, like for years, ACR has had a lot of people saying that there are bots playing on their site, and that was like the biggest criticism of ACR. Moneymaker was on an interview talking about this. He said that ACR was going to issue a 100K challenge. So basically, if anyone could build a bot that would take money from the player pool over 5,000 hands, then they would give them $100,000 and a job.
And a job. That's what got me last time, is it wasn't just a prize. It was, we'd also like to employ you.
Right.
Right. So again, if you missed last week, that's what we were talking about. What a fascinating idea. Cool. Somebody's going to get employed. We're going to learn more. That is a way to think outside the box. And then something we didn't stop to think about is, now are people going to feel safe playing there? Because there's all of these people out there maybe doing this challenge, right? And other questions came into play.
Right. So, yeah, they started getting a lot of pushback from the players. Like, hey, why are you encouraging people to build bots to compete against me right now? So I don't think I want my money on there so that you can just give it to these bots that you've challenged to come out there. So then within like, it was like 12 hours, somebody built a bot. They said they accomplished the goals that were set forth, sent in, I don't know if it was screenshots or videos or whatever, to ACR and to Chris Moneymaker. And then January 4th, they initiated the contest. January 5th, they had already had somebody say they won it. By 8:21 p.m., they tweeted a message out to everybody that said basically that they had been following everything, that at this time, we can confirm that no one has completed the challenge. They reiterated, they said, for clarity, there are a few basic requirements. One, to create the bot that would pull money out of our player economy. Two, complete at least 5,000 hands without being detected by our security protocols. Three, be prepared to provide information to our team to improve protocols in the future. And four, publicly identify yourself in order to provide transparency and credibility in the community.
So in a nutshell, they added to the $100,000 plus a job challenge and tried to clarify some things. And that was that was right after we released the podcast last week. And then
the next day, by morning, January 6th, it was like 11:51. Yeah, 11:51, January 6th, they rescinded the whole challenge. And, you know, they were like, we owe our players an apology after listening to the feedback. It's clear that our decision to initiate the bot challenge on our poker site has caused significant concern within our player community. And so yada, yada, as a result, they're rescinding the challenge basically. And so
ACR, here's the thought. Create an environment where there's fake money and let people go in there and create their bots there.
There you go.
Hello. I mean, like, why give? I think that was the big brouhaha, is we're actually playing live with real money, and now we know that there's people out there essentially attacking that. How do I feel safe to even play here, or know that I'm going to be able to play my game and at least know what I'm betting on, right? So they can figure out a way to somewhat create an environment that's similar to their platform or their platform copied in a safe space, and say, anybody who comes into here, this is where the challenge goes. Let them have at it with fake money and see what happens.
Right. And I'm pretty sure it's been a long time since I played on ACR, but pretty sure they've got a play money portion of their site. So there you go. I don't know. Definitely some work that needs to be done there for something like that? Again, let me reiterate the question. From a player standpoint, do you feel comfortable? Is that a place that you want to put money on a site and just hope that they've cleared up all of the people that were in there for the challenge, even though the challenge isn't going on now?
It's probably two schools of thought there. I mean, some people are really worried when they hear about plane crashes. They worry, like that Alaskan flight last week, the whole door blew off.
Right.
And they have people in the flight, right? So if you're supposed to take off on an Alaskan Air flight the next day, are you terrified or are you thinking they're probably checking everything all the time, double checking, rechecking to make sure this isn't a headline again,
right?
So there's probably two schools of thought, or where maybe two circles people fall in, that, you know, they're either skeptical and they've moved on to another site, or they're thinking, well, now that this is out in the open, I bet their security is like through the roof. So who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Time will tell, as in all things.
Right. Right.
You know, but speaking of hype, I gotta say, usually we keep the table talk to poker, but how about those Bills, Joe? We are a Buffalo Bills family. I married into this. I love the Bills Mafia, of course. If you haven't seen the hype video for this week, it is for poker players. What is our goal? Our goal is to get to Vegas to play the Super Bowl. And man, Steve Tasker and all those folks that are in the marketing for the Buffalo Bills have nailed it.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I mean, obviously being a Bills fan, I watched the video, I sent it to Elle, and I was like, I'm ready to get on the field. I'm ready to play right now.
Which immediately erupted in the laughter in my office.
That's not nice.
Just before that. No, I think that is the point. That is it. You were the audience, and that is the reaction they wanted. They want Bills Mafia to feel just as engaged, and you are, you know, according to those players. So it was really cool. Definitely check it out. Maybe we can put a link up, in the description of the podcast. But
yeah,
just something fun to look forward to as we go into the weekend, out of the chaos of the week and all the things we talked about here. You know, watch a little football, go for a walk. Maybe you're somewhere that's going to get dumped on with snow. Enjoy it. Plan a couple of yummy meals to make and have some fun this weekend.
Absolutely. And go Bills.
Go Bills. It's always a pleasure to be around the table with you.
Likewise, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.
Now it's time for Call the Floor with Elliot Schechter.
Elliot Schechter is the poker room manager for Rivers Casino in Schenectady, New York. And he joins us each week to say how he would rule on situations that come up in your games. And he's with me again this week. Elliot, how you doing?
Doing well. We're in between the snowstorms moving through the area. So we're in a warm snap right now to melt the snow. And now, boom, we're about to get hit again for the next week, I guess.
Well, you kept it all up there because they had called for us to get record numbers or just a dusting, and we actually got zero snow. So apparently it all stayed with you guys.
Yeah.
But hopefully you're staying warm. And we've got kind of an interesting call the floor this week. It's sent in by Van Brewer. And Van says, several weeks ago on Call the Floor, there was a situation where several players folded out of turn and a player with cards spoke up that he still had cards once the pot was being pushed to another player. This situation is similar, but with a different outcome, he says. And it's a local daily tournament. Under the gun, limps, and action folds around to the big blind. The dealer doesn't see under the gun player's cards, pushes the pot to the big blind, and washes his cards. So under the gun is left sitting with cards while the big blind has none. And the floor is called over. And the floor ruled that the pot would be split between the two players. Under the gun, Van says under the gun put up a mild protest, but let it go pretty quickly. The whole situation apparently happened pretty quickly. And he says that I give both players some sort of pass because they were on either side of the dealer. But is this a fair ruling? And would the ruling be different if under the gun raised instead of limping?
Wow, there's a lot to unpack here. This is a good question. Is it a fair ruling? Yeah, it's pretty fair. I mean, nobody lost anything. Nobody gained anything. The dealer screwed up and he moved on. I mean, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened. The dealer should pay attention. There could have been more detail in this submission, I have to admit. We don't know that the dealer could see under the gun's cards. A lot of players very creatively place their chips in such a way that you can't see anything on the other side of some of their chips. This could very well have been one of those spots. Doesn't mean it was. There are many ways for somebody to miss somebody. It could have just been under their hands. It's hard to miss somebody's cards being out there, especially if a bet is out there. So the dealer obviously wasn't paying 100% attention. But again, under the gun never really spoke up here. And certainly, again, as in the previous situation from several weeks ago, waited until the pot was pushed until speaking up, as opposed right. to saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm still in the hand. This is not the worst decision. I mean, what's to stop dealers from constantly taking the cards of players they don't like and all of a sudden leaving the only live hand with a player they do like, and now you push them in the pot because they have the only live hand? You certainly can't give that much determinative ability to any dealer. It's not fair, and it's not what the game is about, nor should the game be played that way.
Right.
So, yeah, you've got to allow for some decisions to correct errors and make it as neutral as possible so that you can overcome any one person's bias. So right. constantly moving the pot to the person with cards in every single situation and in similar situations, this may be completely unfair. Again, protecting your hand means speaking up. And speaking up after something is already complete is not speaking up. That's called waiting. So would it have been different if under the gun raised? Possibly. I mean, one would assume that if somebody throws in a raise, that the dealer's going to announce it. And if it hasn't been announced, somebody's going to ask, or a player's going to ask. Generally, when something happens to change the nature of the betting round, dealers are more apt to be on alert, and so are the players. So we generally don't have to make too many decisions when that happens because everybody's watching for something.
Right.
There are rare instances when somebody raises and nobody pays attention regardless of whether the dealer announced it and even in spite of the dealer announcing it. So again, it could be different, but generally not. I mean, at some point, you can't keep allowing dealers to determine who wins the pot by their ability to ignore or otherwise take people's cards when they shouldn't and then determine the winner. That can't be part of the game on a consistent basis.
Right. You said exactly what I was thinking is typically if there is a raise, the dealer will announce that raise. So would it have been different? It probably would have been different just because of that. That would have definitely brought the chips out there to attention, right?
Well, and the question is, would the ruling be different? And possibly, right. but not necessarily. Once again, waiting till everything is complete and then speaking up is not doing anything other than waiting. Protecting your hand is in the middle of somebody doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Hey, stop, wait, I've got cards. Or wait a minute, he didn't win the pot. Saying that before the pot is pushed, or as the guy is reaching for somebody's cards that they shouldn't be reaching for, that's protecting your hand.
Right.
Whereas waiting for everything to be complete and then say, oh, wait a minute, I've still got cards. What are you doing? You shouldn't give him the pot. That's basically playing an angle. I mean, which is why several weeks ago, a guy waited until four or five people acted and then spoke up. That's not an inadvertent burn and turn or inadvertent awarding of a pot. That's a dead hand. At some point, you got to speak up and say, look, I'm still in the betting.
Right.
So the same principle applies on later rounds, even at the showdown.
Yeah, I think, in this case, he said that he gives him the a little bit of a pass because they're on either side of the dealer, but I don't know. I move around so you can see what's going on.
Ask what's happening. Did he call?
Yeah.
Where's the flop?
I'm one of those that likes to be able to see what's going on over there anyway. So I'm probably looking across, you know, trying to find a spot that I can see the player across anyway.
We all like to be able to see what's happening. I just want to be on the left of the worst player in the game. Money moves clockwise like the action does. Well, I want the bad player's money to have the easiest and quickest trip to my stack.
Yeah.
So if I got to sit in the one seat to do it, I'll do it. I'm unconcerned. If I got to sit in the nine seat, if I got to sit on either side of the dealer to make sure that the worst player in the game is one to my right, I'm sitting there.
Sure.
But I'm paying attention and not letting the dealer get away with stuff like this either.
Sure. That's what I was going to say is if you are sitting in those seats, then be aware that you may have to be a little extra alert.
Always. I've never had my hand mucked inadvertently by a dealer just cleaning up the table or taking my cards because he thought something was happening. Never happened. It's never happened. I've been doing this for quite a long time as an operator and even as a player. It's never happened to me. I've had instances where I've had dealers try to take my cards and I've held on to the point where they've called the floor. He won't let me have his cards. Like, and I finally go to the floor. Where's the pot? He goes, it's right here. It shouldn't be here. And I point in front of me. And he goes, well, you won. Then where's the pot? I'm not giving up my cards. It's that simple. Well, you have to. No, I don't. You have to push me the pot. Then I give you the cards. That's the order in which this shall occur. And I'll wait it out. I'm unconcerned. The clock's running. Too bad.
Right. Van, so the answer to your question, was it a fair ruling? Yeah, I think we can all agree that was pretty fair. And whether it would be different, maybe.
Everything's a judgment call. And we take the totality of the situation and all of the relevant facts into account before we render a fair decision.
Right.
But we try not to let somebody who doesn't protect their hand correctly or speak up correctly win every single decision. That's not how this works.
Right. Van, I appreciate you sending that in. If anyone has another call to the floor that they would like to know how Elliot would rule, send it to us at podcast@annieupmagazine.com. And Elliot, we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thanks again.
Let's break it down with Hand of the Week.
We are back with another Hand of the Week with Patrick. How's it going, man?
We are indeed. Joe, I'm good, man. Yourself? You doing good?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So if when we put this on YouTube, they'll be able to see it. But for now, I'm sporting the Red Sox for you.
I love it. You know, I don't expect you to come over to the good side, but I don't even know. I don't even know if it is the good side these days. I mean, the Red Sox have a lot to go. I mean, and as we're recording this, the announcement's been made. Bill Belichick is done. You know, of course,
yeah.
Tom Brady's gone. What was the city of trophies and champions is slowly dwindling. However, the Bruins are tied for first halfway through the season. The Celtics are tied for first or in first. So football and baseball might be on the back burner and build rebuilding, but those two are still good. So
well, for the record, what I'm sporting is the minor league team. So
got to throw in that clarification. I hear you.
Hey, let's throw another shout out to Jackpot Digital. They're the sponsor of our Hand of the Week.
Absolutely.
Obviously, we've talked about them a lot because of them being our sponsor. They have the premium electronic tables. But one thing that I've not mentioned, I don't think to this point, is you don't have to play Hold'em on these tables. So there's all kinds of variants. You can play, obviously, No Limit Hold'em's there, but they have Pot Limit and Limit Hold'em as well. There's PLO, there's Limit Omaha. There's the split bot games like 08. So, you know, it's another opportunity to introduce players to some of the games that they may not be as comfortable with. So I think I want one for my house. How awesome would that be for the home game?
I would have a lot of explaining to do to my wife while I was walking over to your house on a regular basis, if that was the case. I mean, that would be unbelievable. I was looking at it earlier when you and I were talking about it. I mean, they ended the year, you know, updating multiple, getting licenses with, the, you know, new casinos. I mean, they're set for a 2024. That's going to be awesome. So it's exciting to see. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So, and if you don't get a chance to check them out in one of these multiple locations that they've expanded out to, then they will be on the cruise ship for Antioch Poker Cruise in October. So you nice. Can find them there when you join us in October.
I love it.
a little bit of a shameless plug for our cruise there. So I apologize to Jackpot Digital for hijacking that, but it should be
come
all
on,
about
come
them.
Come on, either way, win-win for everyone around. You get to taste that and, you know, have a great, great poker cruise. So, you know what?
Exactly.
We're winning all the way around, gentlemen and ladies.
Yeah. So, bottom line, if you haven't checked them out, do so. Their tables are truly changing the way we think about poker. But this week, we have our second hand from Ken Douglas.
Ken's back. I love it.
He says, second hand, different night. So I thought maybe it was going to be a continuation of that session, but it's a different night. We're still playing 2-5. And again, we bought in for 1,000, just like we did last week. And we're up to 1,350. So we've brought it up a little bit.
Just getting it going a little bit of there. What are we holding tonight?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. He says this is a table of regulars.
Okay.
Most of whom are decent, but somewhat wild. We've seen all kinds of junk being played for up to $75 pre-flop, but post-flop play has been solid. So that's our little setup.
Up to 75 pre-flop playing 2-5 game. All right. Wow.
Yeah. So in this hand, under the gun opens to $25.
Okay.
And Ken says he's an older Asian male. He only sat down about 30 minutes ago, so we don't have any reads on him yet. And it folds to us in the small blind, and we have the king of hearts, king of diamonds.
I love it. I mean, my man Ken's holding some cards, at least when he's sending it to us. I love it.
Okay, yeah. So, Ken, last week we played aces. Now we're playing pocket kings. I mean, are you playing anything other than premium hands? Like,
oh, man. All right. King of hearts, king of diamonds, 25 to us. Given, from my point of view, given what he said about the lead up to it, I don't want to go any higher than that. It sounds like they would. So, me personally, I'm just going to call that.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
I definitely don't want to just call.
Okay.
I want to make sure. So we've got to get the big blind out. I want to make sure that we're getting this heads up. So I want to raise enough to make sure that he folds, the big blind folds. I think I'm making it an even 100.
Okay.
So going 4X, the raise.
All right.
Ken, it looks like goes your direction. He says, normally this is a standard raise, but I decide to play the hand tricky and just call.
Okay.
His range should be strong as the under the gun opener, and maybe we can build a big pot on a favorable flop. The big blind does fold, so Ken got to heads up cheaper than I did. And so we've got, what, $55 in the pot, right?
Yep.
The villain has about $1,000 behind. The flop is the 10 of clubs, 7 of clubs, 2 of spades. Our kings are all red. So, Patrick, what do you want to do first to act?
55 in the pot. I'm probably going 25. close to half pot, same bet. You know, still feeling good. You know, we can make him on a lot of different hands at that point. This will be interesting to see how he responds to that one.
Sure. Yeah. So if we would have gone my route, if we would have raised him pre-flop, I would say we continue here, but we started the hand by being deceptive. So I think we continue that track.
Yeah.
Two clubs on the board though. I want to go the check raise option. So
okay.
I'm going to start with a check and hope that they want to continue. If they don't and it goes check, check, I'm not going to be happy, but I want to go check raise.
Okay, fair enough. What our boy Ken do?
Ken says this is a favorable flop and we check.
Okay.
And our opponent does continue for $65. So okay. He bets over the pot, which is interesting. So what are you doing with that?
You make him on a flush draw? Are you making him on aces, queens, something like that? Is that your mindset? Because that's kind of where mine first went.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's just wanting to get us the heck out. Maybe he's putting us on the flush draw. Maybe he just wants us to fold whatever we have, wants to get the hand over. I certainly didn't expect the overbet there.
No, I didn't either. I figured close to the pot, though, but, you know, it is over. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, there's two clubs out there, but I'm probably calling with kings, to be frank.
Okay, so you're just going to call.
Yep.
Are
you feeling aggressive today? Are you feeling froggy?
Well, I told you I wanted to check raise, so I told you before it even came out I wanted to do it.
Yeah, but does that affect you? This is a good thing. It doesn't affect you when they go over pot like that.
I mean, honestly, like I said, I feel like it makes me think he wants me to get out of the hand.
Okay.
But it does make me think if we would have led out, then he would have probably raised us and we could have just got it in now, because that's what I want to do. I want all the chips in. Now.
Okay, there you go.
But we're not beat. I think he probably has maybe a smaller pair or some kind of club draw. If he has queens or jacks, we're golden.
Golden.
And those make perfect sense. So I'm trying to think of, I'm stalling here, trying to think of a good amount to put in there.
I can tell. And everyone out there can tell as well. I want to hear this. Like, but you're right. I mean, it's totally plausible that that's what he's got.
Yeah. All right, I'll stop stalling. And 260 to 275, that's what I want to put.
Okay.
Then maybe that's enough for them to raise us again, and we can just jam it.
Okay.
That's my goal.
That would be the goal. All right. What's our guy do?
Ken says, with a somewhat connected board, I want to raise now before a scary card comes that will either downgrade my hand or kill the action. I raise to 165.
Okay. So he was 100% in line with you, just not quite the amount, which leaves an opening.
Yeah, and I'm not...
Maybe he's thinking the same as you, though, that... they might raise again and then he can shove. Maybe that's the thought process.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, you know, I might have gone too high for them to put the money in. So it might have been a better bet. After 30 seconds, he says, our opponent three bets to $340.
You called this one, and this is
put it in.
Let's go. this is why you and me are me. Wow. All right.
So, yeah, we do get another chance. Are you calling that? I mean,
yeah.
Are you're just calling that?
No. At this point, with another, if we're playing his hand and that raise comes in, yeah, I'm all in. Let's go.
You're all in. Okay, yep. Good. All right. So I'm definitely putting this money in. I've already said it. That's what I wanted to do, but let's just take a minute right here before I put someone else's money in the pot.
Yeah.
I still think a pocket pair under our kings makes the most sense for this hand, right?
It does.
But what else could they have? They could have pocket tens.
I mean, queens were good, jacks were good, tens were good.
If they have...
No, tens were not.
Yeah, tens are a problem.
Queens or jacks,
sevens
yeah.
are a problem. I don't think We're just not even going to talk about the possibility of pocket twos.
Well, now that you've said that and put that out in the world, this is another time that twos take us down. I think percentages wise, yes, you're making the right play.
Yeah, I mean,
I do.
If they have pocket tens, they have pocket sevens, or they have 10-7 or something like that. I don't think they played Doyle's hand, so probably not 10 deuce. Queens, jacks, tens, nines. I think even if you had eights, you look at that board and think, I'm not drawn dead, so let's get a little wild.
Yeah.
But he did say it was wild pre-flop and then pretty standard post-flop, so maybe not too crazy. Ken says he tanks for a while, thinking he could have flopped a set, but my raise looks more like a 10 that's trying to fold out two overcards. He says he could be 3-betting with an overpair or a solid draw like ace X of clubs, like what you said, or even 8-9. Ken says, I strongly suspect I have the best hand. If I call, I will have about 950 behind with about 750 in the pot. I decide on a cautious call and evaluate the turn. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah, That's scary to me. So now there's 735 in the pot, I think. And the turn is the ace of hearts. Everyone's favorite. When you have two kings and an ace comes on the board.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't know why I'm thinking it. I don't know. It popped in my head. I mean, ace queen, maybe. Ace jack. I mean, but it wouldn't fit with how they bet. So I don't know.
I agree with you. Yeah.
I don't know that they don't. I don't know that they have that. I really don't.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I'm going on record. I think they have queens. I'm going on record now. I mean, we'll finish this out, but I'm going on record. I think they have queens, and that's what I'm going to play it as. I mean, just looking around, but
yeah, I'm.
Here's a better question. Now what?
Well, here's the deal. Like you, to your point, they didn't really play like ace king or ace queen or ace jack or anything like that. So I'm still not going there, and I'm not folding. So I want to be the aggressor. What'd they have? They had like 1,000 before the flop came out. We ended up with 340 on the flop. So they should have somewhere around 660-ish. So, I mean, I want to be the aggressor. I'm shoving. I'm putting it in now.
Yeah. I think at this point, at this point, this is the only thing to do. If you wanted to cut and run for whatever reason, but, I mean, Ken's in line with us. I mean, he's still thinking he's got the best hand. I'm curious to see what he says now. But, yeah, I think it's definitely a shove, 100%.
Ken checks, though, and he says our opponent shoves for about 600, which is what we determined. It was about 660.
He's probably thinking the same thing we are, is like, you know, whatever he's got, but if the other thought process is, okay, well, if he shoves and we haven't made, you know, if he's making us on a flush draw, then we haven't gotten it, then maybe we leave with the rest of our chips. You know, maybe he's thinking that.
Yeah, I think.
Please tell me Ken called.
I think the only hand that could possibly be with an ace in it is ace 10. They raised pre-flop, then hit that 10, and now they've paired the ace on the end, but that's definitely not enough to get me to fold. So we're in. Get it in. Ken says,
call it.
Oh no. Ken says, I don't think long and snap fold, showing my king king. Villain cackles like a maniac and proudly displays jack-jack for the second best hand.
All right. Oh, I went on record for queens. I was one off.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. Ken says, in hindsight, I should have shoved the flop to his 3-bet.
There it is. Yep. You and Joe both were thinking right on that one.
He only had about 600 left behind with 750 in the pot. ish if I called. This likely makes his hand a shove on the turn, no matter what he had. He likely would have called my shove, and he would have had two outs on the river to win. He says, I played this hand poorly, but recovered and still booked a winning session. That's what I like to hear.
There we go. All right. That makes me feel a lot better after the last two hands, because I was starting to feel for you. Well done, Ken. Yeah, I think he, spot on. You shove after the flop there and you take it home and, you know, go on.
Yeah, I think that obviously, Ken, when you're only playing premium hands like aces and kings, then you run.
You didn't have to go there.
I'm just joking. Obviously, Ken's playing more than just aces and kings and premium hands by booking a win, but I had to give him one more little needle there.
I love it. Ken, send us in another one, and this time you've got queens. Just follow the ladder down. We want to see what you got.
I love it. Well, Ken, I'm really glad that you recovered, booked a winning session, and keep them coming, guys. If anyone else has a hand of the week that they would like Patrick and I to break down, send it to podcast@anyupmagazine.com. And Patrick, I appreciate you doing this with me.
Cheers to another week.
It's time for Joe's One Outer.
Do you play prop bets in your games? Inevitably, now, even in your home game with friends, there can be a lot of sitting around and waiting. If you're an action junkie, that's a pretty bad mix. It can lead to you playing a lot of hands that you probably shouldn't, simply out of sheer boredom. There is an antidote for that, though. Prop bets, like the stand-up game or the seven-deuce game, that can add a little excitement to the night. They encourage players to loosen up a little bit and gets everyone talking more, which improves the overall mood of pretty much everyone, even the ones who end up losing the prop bets. While these types of side bets are usually pretty entertaining, they also serve to help weaker players by adding a little more of the element of chance while keeping the more experienced players engaged in what's happening around the table more. So, if you're looking for even more action at the table, then be sure to throw in a few prop bets here and there. It'll help stir up the action. That's today's One Outer, and that's today's show. I'll see you next week, A-Team. And until then, I'll see you at the tables.
The Annie Up Podcast is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcasts@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call the show at 540-339-7741. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to editor@AnnieUpMagazine.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.